We are reading in the writings of Bala Sulam the article, A Speech for the Completion of the Zohar. A speech for the completion of Zohar, given to celebrate the completion of the publication of the Sulam commentary on the Book of Zohar. It is known that the desired purpose from the work in Torah and Mitzvot is to adhere to the Creator, as it is written, and to adhere to Him. We should understand what Dvekut with the Creator means, since the thought has no perception of Him whatsoever. Indeed, our sages have discussed this question before me, asking about the verse, and to adhere to Him. How can one adhere to Him? After all, He is a consuming fire. And they replied, adhere unto His qualities. As He is merciful, so you are merciful. As He is compassionate, so you are compassionate. This is perplexing. How did our sages drift from the literal text? After all, it is explicitly written, and to adhere to Him. Had the meaning been to adhere to His qualities, it would have to be written, adhere to His ways. So why does it say, and to adhere to Him? The thing is that incorporeality, which takes up space, we understand Dvekut as proximity of place. And we understand the separation as remoteness of place. But in spirituality, which does not occupy any space, Dvekut and separation do not mean proximity or remoteness of place, since they do not occupy any space. Rather, we understand Dvekut as equivalence of form between two spirituals, and we understand separation as disparity of form between two spirituals. And just as the axe cuts and separates a corporeal object into two by removing the parts from one another, disparity of form distinguishes the spiritual and divides it into two. If the disparity of form between them is small, we can say that they're a little far from one another. If the disparity of form is great, we say that they are very far from one another. If they are in opposite form, we say that they are as far from each other as two extremes. For example, when two people hate one another, it is said about them that they are as separated from one another as the east from the west. And if they love each other, it is said about them that they are attached to one another as a single body. This does not concern nearness or remoteness of location. Rather, it is about equivalence of form or disparity of form. This is so because when people love each other, it is because there is equivalence of form between them. Because one loves everything that one's friend loves and hates all that one's friend hates, they are attached to one another and love one another. However, if there is any disparity of form between them, meaning and one loves something even though one's friend hates that thing, they are hateful of each other and remote from one another to the extent of their disparity of form. And if they are opposite, so that everything that one loves, one's friend hates, it is said about them that they are as remote and as separate as the East from the West.
We
find that disparity of form in spirituality acts like the axe that separates incorporeality. Similarly, the meaning of remoteness of location and the measure of the separation in them depends on the measure of disparity of form between them. Also, the measure of dvikut between them depends on the measure of equivalence of form between them. Now we understand how right our sages were when they interpreted the verse and to adhere to him as dvikut with his qualities. As he is merciful, so you are merciful. As he is compassionate, so are you and your compassionate. They did not deflect the text from the literal, meaning quite the contrary. They interpreted the text precisely according to its literal meaning. Since spiritual dvikut can only be depicted as equivalence of form, hence, by equalizing our form with the form of his qualities, we become attached to him. This is why they said, as he is merciful. In other words, all his actions are to bestow and benefit others, and not at all for his own benefit. Since he has no deficiencies that require complete complementing, and also he has no one from whom to receive. Similarly, all your actions will be to bestow and to benefit others. Thus you will equalize your form with the form of the qualities of the Creator. And this is spiritual dvikut. There is a discernment of mind and a discernment of heart in the above-mentioned equivalence of form. The engagement in Torah and mitzvot is in order to bestow contentment upon one's maker is equivalence of form in the mind. This is because the Creator does not think of himself whether he exists or whether he watches over his creations and other such doubts. Similarly, one who wishes to achieve equivalence of form must not think of these things as well. When it is clear to him that the Creator does not think of them, since there is no greater disparity of form than that. Hence, anyone who thinks of such matters is certainly separated from him and will never achieve equivalence of form. This is what our sages said, let all your actions be for the sake of the Creator. That is, dvikut with the Creator. Do not do anything that does not yield this goal of dvikut. This means that all your actions will be to bestow and to benefit your fellow person. At that time, you will achieve equivalence of form with the Creator, as all his actions are to bestow and to benefit others. So you, all your actions will be only to bestow and benefit others. This is the complete dvikut. We could ask about it, how can one's every action be to benefit others. After all, one must work to sustain oneself and one's family. The answer is that those deeds that one does out of necessity, that is, in order to receive and sustain oneself and one's family, after all, the answer is that those deeds that one does out of necessity to receive one's bare necessities for sustenance, that necessity is neither praised nor condemned. This is not considered doing something for oneself whatsoever. Anyone who delves into the heart of things will certainly be surprised at how one can achieve complete equivalence of form. So all of one's actions will be to give to others, while man's very essence is only to receive for oneself. By nature, we are unable to do even the smallest thing to benefit others. Instead, when we give to others, we are compelled to expect that in the end, we will receive a worthwhile reward. And if one as much as doubts the reward, one will refrain from acting. Thus, how can one's every action be only to bestow upon others and not at all for oneself? Indeed, I admit that this is a very difficult thing. One cannot change the nature of one's own creation, which is only to receive for oneself, much less invert one's nature from one extreme to the other, meaning not to receive anything for oneself, but rather act only to bestow.
Yet,
this is why he gave us Torah and mitzvot, which we were commanded to do only in order to bestow contentment upon the Creator. Had it not been for the engagement in Torah and mitzvot lishma, which are to bring contentment to the Creator with Him, and not to benefit ourselves, there would have been no tactic in the world that could help us invert our nature. Now you can understand the rigorousness of engaging in Torah and mitzvot lishma. If one's intention in the Torah and mitzvot is not to benefit the Creator, but to benefit oneself, not only will the nature of the will to receive in Him not be inverted, but rather the will to receive in Him will be much more than what He was given by the nature of His creation. As I explained in the introduction to the Sulam commentary in the first volume, see there, but are the virtues of one who has been rewarded with Dvikut with the Creator, they are not specified anywhere, except in subtle intimations. Yet to clarify the matters in my essay, I must disclose a little, as much as necessary. I'll explain the matters through an allegory. The body with its organs are one. The whole of the body exchanges thoughts and sensations with each of its organs. For example, if the whole of the body thinks that this will delight him and he will feel contemplate pleasure, he will And also if some organ thinks and feels that the place it is in is narrow, the rest of the body immediately knows that thought and sensation and moves it to a comfortable place. However, should an organ be cut off from the body, they become two separate entities. And the rest of the body no longer knows the needs of the separated organ. And the organ no longer knows the thoughts of the body to serve it and to benefit it. And if the doctor would come and reconnect the organ to the body as it was before, then the organ returns again to know the thoughts and needs of the rest of the body. And the rest of the body would once more know the needs of the organ. According to this allegory, we can understand the merit of one who has been rewarded with dvikut with the Creator. I have already demonstrated in that the soul is an illumination that extends from His Self. This illumination has been separated from the Creator by the Creator's clothing it with a will to receive. This is so because the thought of creation, to do good to His creations, created in each soul a desire to receive pleasure. Thus, this disparity of form of the will to receive separated that illumination from His Self and turned it into a separate part from Him. See there in the source, since this is not the place to elaborate on this. It follows that each soul was included in His Self prior to its creation. But with creation, meaning along with the nature of the desire to receive pleasure that has been instilled in it, it acquired disparity of form and was separated from the Creator, whose only wish is to bestow. This is so because, as we have explained above, disparity of form separates in spirituality as the axe does in corporeality. Thus, now the soul is completely similar to the allegory about the organ that was cut off and separated from the body. Even though prior to the separation, the organ and the whole body were one and exchanged thoughts and sensations with one another. After the organ has been cut off from the body, they have become two entities. Now, one does not know the other's thoughts or needs. It is even more so after the soul is dressed in a body of this world. All the connections it had prior to the separation from His Self have stopped, and they are like two separate entities. Now we can understand can easily understand the merit of one who has been rewarded with adhering to Him once more, meaning rewarded with equivalence of form with the Creator by inverting the will to receive imprinted in Him through the power in the Torah and mitzvot. This was the very thing that separated Him from His Self. He turned it into a desire to bestow, and all of one's actions are only to bestow and to benefit others. As He has equalized His form with the Maker, it follows that He is just like the organ that was once cut off from the body and has reconnected to the body. It knows the thoughts of the rest of the body once again, just as it did prior to the separation from the body. So is the soul. After it has acquired equivalence with him, it knows his thoughts once more as it knew prior to the separation from him, due to the will to receive disparity of form. Then the verse, know the God of your father, comes true in him, as then he is rewarded with complete knowledge, which is godly knowledge, and he is rewarded with all the secrets of the Torah, as his thoughts are the secrets of the Torah. This is the meaning of what Rabbi Meir said, anyone who learns Torah, Lishma is granted many things. The secrets and flavors of Torah are revealed to him, and he becomes like an ever-flowing spring. As we have said, through engagement in Torah Lishma, meaning by aiming to bring contentment to his Maker through his engagement in the Torah, and not at all for his own benefit, he is guaranteed to cling to the Creator. This means that he will achieve equivalence of form, and all his actions will be to benefit others and not himself at all. Just like the Creator, whose every action is only to bestow and to benefit others. By this, one returns to Dvekut with the Creator, as was the soul prior to its creation. Hence, he is granted many things and is rewarded with the secrets and the flavors of Torah, because he has reconnected with the Creator. He knows once more the thoughts of the Creator. Like the allegory about the organ that has been reattached to the body. The thoughts of the Creator are called secrets and flavors of the Torah. Thus, one who learns Torah Lishma is rewarded with the secrets and flavors of Torah being revealed to him, and he becomes like an ever-flowing spring due to the removal of partitions that separated him from the Creator. So he has become one with him again, as before one was created. Indeed, the whole Torah, revealed and concealed, is the thought of the Creator, without any difference. Yet it is like a person drowning in the river, whose friend throws him a rope to save him. If the drowning person catches the rope in its near part, his friend can save him and pull him out of the river. So is the Torah, being entirely the thoughts of the Creator. It is like a rope that the Creator throws to people to save them and pull them out of the klipot. The end of the rope, which is near to all the people, is the revealed Torah, which requires no invention. And moreover, even if he has some kind of flawed thought, it's still acceptable on the Creator. As it is written, one will always engage in Torah and Mitzvot, lo lishma. As from lo lishma, he will come to Lishma. Hence, the Torah and mitzvot are the end of the rope, and there is not a person in the world who cannot grip it. If one tightly grips it, meaning is rewarded with engaging in Torah and mitzvot Lishma, to bring contentment to one's maker, and not to oneself, the Torah and mitzvot lead one to equivalence of form with the Creator. This is the meaning of and to adhere to Him. At that time, one will be rewarded with attaining all the thoughts of the Creator, called secrets of the Torah and the flavors of the Torah, which are the rest of the rope. However, one is awarded it only after one has achieved complete dvekut. The reason we compare the Creator's thoughts, meaning the secrets of the Torah and the flavors of the Torah, to a rope, is that there are many degrees in the equivalence of form with the Creator. Hence, there are many degrees in the rope in attaining the secrets of the Torah. One measure of attainment of the secrets of the Torah, of knowing His thoughts, is as the measure of equivalence of Torah with the Creator. Overall, there are five degrees. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. Each of which consists of all of them. Also, each contains five degrees, and each of these contain at least 25 degrees. They are also called worlds. As our sages said, the Creator is destined to grant each righteous 310 worlds. The reason why the degrees of attaining Him are called worlds is that the name Olam has two meanings. One, all those who come into that world have the same sensation, and everything that one sees, hears, and feels, all those who come into that world see, hear, and feel as well. Two, all those who come into that hidden world cannot know or attain anything in the other world. These two degrees are also in attainment. One, anyone who has been rewarded with a certain degree knows and attains in it everything that those who came to that degree attained in all the generations that were and that will be. He had a common attainment with them as though they are in the same world. Two, all who come to that degree will not be able to know or attain what exists in another degree. It is like the worlds. They cannot know anything of what exists in the world of truth. This is why these are called, these degrees are called worlds. For this reason, those with attainment can compose books and put their attainments in writings, in intimations, and other allegories. They will all understand by all who have been rewarded with the degrees that the books describe, and they have common attainment with them. But those who have not been rewarded with the full measure of the degree, as the authors, will not be able to understand their intimations. It is even more so with those who have not been rewarded with any attainment. They will not understand a thing about them since they have no common attainment. We have already said that the complete vikut and complete attainment is divided into 125 degrees all overall. Accordingly, prior to the days of the Messiah, it is impossible to be granted all 125 degrees, and there are two different degrees, two different. This is between the generation of the Messiah and all other generations. One, only that in the generation of the Messiah is it possible to attain all 125 degrees and in no other generation. Two, throughout the generations, those who ascended and were rewarded with dvikut, we are few. As our sages wrote about the verse, I have found one person in 1,000, where 1,000 enter the room and one comes out to the light, meaning to dvekut and attainment. But in the generation of the Messiah, each and every one can be rewarded with dvekut and attainment. As it was said, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and they will teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. An exception is Rashbi and his generation, the authors of the Zohar, who were granted all 125 degrees in completeness, even though it was prior to the days of the Messiah. It was said about him and his disciples, a sage is preferable to a prophet. Hence, we often find in the Zohar that there will be none like the generations of Rashbi until the generation of the Messiah, King. This is why his position made such a great impression in the world, since the secrets of the Torah is occupied by other things, meaning in the days of the Messiah. And we said that if the degrees of those who are reading it are not in the complete measure of the author, they will not understand his intimations since they don't have a common attainment. Since the degree of the authors of the Zohar is at the full level of 125 degrees, they cannot be attained prior to the days of the Messiah. It follows that there will be no common attainment with the authors of the Zohar in the generations preceding the days of the Messiah. Hence, the Zohar could not be revealed in the generations before the generation of the Messiah. This is a clear proof that our generation has come to the days of the Messiah. We can see that all the interpretations of the Book of Zohar before ours did not clarify as much as 10% of the difficult place in the Zohar. Even in the little they did clarify, their words are almost as obtruse as the words of the Zohar itself. But in our generation, we have been rewarded with the Sulam commentary, which is a complete interpretation of all the words of the Zohar. Moreover, not only does it not leave an unclear matter in the whole of the Zohar without interpreting it, The clarifications are based on a straightforward analysis, which any intermediate examiner can understand. And since the Zohar appeared in our generation, it is a clear proof that we are at the generation of the, already the days of the Messiah. At the outset of that generation of which it was said, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord.
So, up to here. Okay.
יש לנו רק הודעות לסוף השיעור על הלוז של היום.
We just have announcements at the end for our schedule for today.
So what is today's schedule?
יש תוכנית חדשות עם הרב לייטמן.
Today at 10 a.m. there's the news program with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lightman and recorded. At 10:30, a talk with Kabbalist Lightman. We're asking the Creator to advance us to him, recorded. And then from 12 to 1, the afternoon lesson with Lightman, of Lightman, live.
And except for Rav Lightman, what about you?
Each 10 is connecting. We're repeating the lesson, preparing for tomorrow's lesson.
No.
Okay, no more questions. So, give us a song or something.
We will conclude with a song.
Searching together, following the scent that leads to life. To each heart, there's a door to love where we find a way to rise above ourselves. It's you that lights our hearts, it's you that shines. Myself. Through each heart there's a door to love.